from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
24 and beyond. 13th play of this drive. Mills, good protection underneath. Touchdown, Texans. Quatoriano with a score.
And this is Dirt and Sprague.
Lizoa Mbakwa knocked away and claimed by Collier. Ionescu, 10 seconds left. And just got word, she's got to put it up. A deep one. Ionescu! Money!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
And now out in transition, here comes Santiago Moreno. Is there a fourth in the cards? Moreno all the way into the edge of the 18. Moreno! Everyone's getting in on the scoring act. It's 4-0 for the Timbers. Light up the chainsaw, Timber Joey.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080, The Fan. Good morning. Happy Friday, everybody.
What is happening?
How about the voodoo donuts? When, who cracked them? How many did Dirt have?
I had a donut. Wow. I ate a donut yesterday.
Did Sprague partake? Or?
Nope. Just taking fat shots over there, huh? Fat guy's back eating donuts left and right.
Well, I saw the picture. It looked like they like plunked down like multiple boxes.
Well, they did.
There's a lot.
Like they were testing you.
They just put them right in front of us. I did have a donut after the show. I wasn't gonna have a donut.
Did you have the bacon maple bar?
I did the chocolate circle one. What's that? What's the chocolate circle one?
Did it have chocolate ring?
Just chocolate ring.
Chocolate
cream filling.
Yeah.
Didn't have cream filling.
No cream filling.
Had a hole in it.
It had a hole.
Was not a Boston cream.
So there was a hole.
Just chocolate glaze.
Just a circle with chocolate on top of it. And it was delightful. I just ended up with chocolate all over my fingers, and I had to lick it off. That's what I had to do.
How long have you been doing the show with us, Swag? Is it 5 years? 4 years? I can't remember at this
I've
point.
Lost track.
Okay. Let's call it 5.
We'll
sure.
Let's go with 5.
Might be more. I don't know.
I think it's longer than 5.
It might be longer than 5.
I don't know.
Were you 10 to noon or were you noon
yes,
to 3?
Yes, I was 10 to noon.
You were, okay.
Yeah.
It was hard count.
You were hard count.
I was hard count.
Hey, hey.
I'll have to go back and look at old show sheets and...
Okay.
I keep all those.
So. Blue poncho.
I'm shocked that you opened the show... kind of still throwing, hey, fat guy, did you eat the donut? When he has said several times he doesn't like sweets.
No, I'm not a big sweets guy.
I understand. But
that was mostly...
The donuts became part of the show there in the final
hour.
He
was kind of peer pressured into it, if we're being honest.
I understand.
It's also a slightly like, I'm hungry by the end of the show and I'm ready to eat. And it's just, there's a donut sitting right there.
Yeah. After a Hops or Pilots game, because I don't have a break in either of those.
Yeah, so you
and
just
I'm talking
eat.
The whole time.
Oh yeah,
you don't want to do a big broadcast with a big full stomach.
No,
and so once those are over, like whatever is available and within reach,
you're
is
grabbing,
just getting smashed.
Yes, whatever is free and available in front of me, I'm going.
I don't
to
even
eat.
Care. It's just what's available. Like I need sustenance now.
Where our promos person Tara is actually the one who set. two pink boxes down on our table.
She did.
Well, I don't even think Voodoo asked her to do that. She just did it.
It also led a lot of people walking in to think that we were the donut table. And like people walking up like, is this where I get my donuts? And I'm like, you can take one of these if you want. They're not my donuts.
There was a lady that walked in and the lady's vibe swag was kind of like, I'm here for the free stuff.
Yes.
Not really like here for really what the event is.
And that's a lot of people that go to conferences.
Well, she showed up. She walked right up to our table. We're on the air live.
Which she didn't recognize.
She mouthed to us, can I have one of these? I just shrugged. I'm like, I don't care, lady. Go ahead.
I'm not taking the donuts home.
I'm not
home.
In charge.
I'm not having all of these.
Run this department.
Save me one for 904 and you're fine, lady. You can have the other 72 donuts that are sitting on my table right now.
I was a little devastated. I didn't have a chocolate ring, though. It looked amazing.
It was delightful.
It just sitting right there the whole show, just staring at me in the face. I had to hold strong.
Got a big little follow-up hot take on my anti-donut stance. I'm not anti-donut. I just don't eat a lot of donuts.
Donuts are amazing.
Sometimes the size of the donut is a little intimidating. Like, I don't need that big of a donut. Like,
you just need a regular old, normal size.
Yeah, like
Hostess.
Half the size of that donut would have been much better.
Are you encountering a lot of big donuts? Because I feel like most donuts are smaller than that one.
That was a pretty big donut yesterday.
It was a big maple bar.
And I don't know if all Voodoo donuts are that big, and it was good. I ate the entire thing, in my face. Yeah. But
they're
I would have preferred.
Larger than your typical grocery store donut.
They are larger than your normal donut. Yes. And I did not have the ability. If somebody had had like a little layout where I had a plastic knife, I could have cut that thing in half, and it would have been the perfect amount of donut. But I'm not going to eat half the donut and then put it back or eat half the donut and throw it away. No. It's wasting food. If I pick the donut up, I'm finishing the donut. It just was a lot of donut.
I also think we were very underdressed yesterday. I wore a nice t-shirt, but I think I was still underdressed.
I would actually argue for the history of our show. That was pretty solid on our part yesterday.
Oh, we didn't look slobbery.
I mean, we had collars on.
You had a collar. Yeah. I had kind of a Tiger Woods golf shirt collar.
You're a Mati guy. That's allowable.
I was wearing a nice pink hue-ish color. People were looking at me wondering, is that guy gay? What's he talking about right now? It was a vibe. It was a vibe going on.
You have one of those too? Is that trending on social media? Is this a guy or a girl? No. I don't know. I can't quite tell who's hosting this radio show.
I'm not getting into that. You're not fooling me into that conversation today.
You want to do that one?
No, I think definitively we found the answer to all of that stuff.
I believe it was lady.
It was lady. Also, that Italian boxer, she's a quitter. She's done that multiple times, I found out.
Yeah.
And that gal that won that everybody thought was a dude, that gal's lost like 9 times. Yes. So it's not like she's in there just throwing like Iron Mike Tyson haymakers.
She
all
lost
day.
In the Olympics 4 years ago. Right. Somebody beat her in the Olympics. And it's Algeria. They don't have the strongest.
They're not quite the most progressive country in the world.
Track record handling those issues.
I think somebody found out it is quite illegal for them to identify.
Yes.
She wouldn't be alive probably.
Yeah,
if she
stoned her to death or something.
Yeah, so that was a
boy. What a delightful Thursday morning we had there.
That was one of those when you see a topic trending on Twitter, you're like, I am really glad that we didn't get into that because a lot of people did the. Now I don't know the full story here,
but that's not going to keep me from shooting. My mouth.
Let me talk about this for 15 minutes.
McAfee got dragged for that. It was like, not really informed here. And then he spouted off for 5 minutes about it. I'm like,
rightfully so. A lot of this gets back to Elon, I think. A lot of this is on old Elon. Sure. Of just not like.
When's he going to give up Twitter? And
never. He's not going to.
Never.
How do we not, did Community Notes just take the day off yesterday? Just sleeping at the. Who was working the desk of Community Notes because they were not doing their job?
Well,
would have been a pretty quick, easy correction. That would have curtailed a lot of conversation yesterday.
I think you and I saw an original tweet and we were like, we're kind of thinking what everybody else is getting. And then the day goes on and you get information. You're like, now I know. I was surprised how many people still at the end of the day were still sharing thoughts.
Argument,
I'm like, I think this has been made quite clear what this situation is.
I think this debate has been settled, people. I think we have found the answer.
Speaking of a debate. I would like to revisit not even so much a debate we really had.
Embrace debate today.
But I would like to address, it's a Friday, so there's a lot to get to.
It's a freak out Friday, apparently.
I don't like to revisit specific random topics that we get to on previous shows. I'm not a believer in it.
Right.
I feel like sometimes it can be a crutch and be lazy.
Beating dead horses. But.
However, I would like to revisit something brought up organically yesterday on the show that I would say absolutely, we need to put it in the Hall of Fame, Dirt and Sprague, dumb takes. I have a lot in there. That war chest is full of Sprague.
Yeah.
Went on a nice little walk with my family last night. Evening walk with my dog.
You and your family were outside.
Hey, well, family.
Your family.
Had a good sweat. It was toasty yesterday.
It was toasty.
The paws are, it's too hot for these dogs at 95 degrees. So yes. I have to keep my dog inside most of the day. So we wait for the evening time. So
early or late. That's all you got.
Yeah.
I would like to address and just say the humidity take you gave yesterday was the dumbest take.
Thank you. Thank you.
I had the worst case of swamp ass.
Your ball sweating down there? A little bit of ball sweat?
On a 1.2 mile walk I've ever had in my life.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I had never felt more like an almost
my award
40-year-old dad than when I turned to my daughter and I went, we've never had humidity like this before.
That's such an old white guy thing to say. I love it, man.
Boy, sure is hot out here today. A little sticky.
I felt like I showed up today and you were trying to test my theory of mugginess by turning the heat on in the studio again, and I literally can like slide my hand. There's liquid on the table. It is so muggy in here right now.
I just try to warm the studio up to a comfortable degree, and then it gets muggy as hell in here.
I walked in. I was like, all right, I guess we're doing the show in Savannah, Georgia this morning. Welcome in. We're the Savannah Bananas.
Yeah. No, Indianapolis. 4 days in Indianapolis, and it was not that hot. It was around 80 most of the days, upper 70s. It was not
ostensibly
hot.
Not at all.
And the football stadium was less than a mile from my hotel, so I walked.
Mm.
I just had, you know, the bag for the radio equipment, no big deal. And I was, I needed a shower when I got to Lucas Oil
every
damn day. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
So got the hose.
Is this the new normal for us with the climate changing, or is this fire smoke kind of keeping our heat trapped?
I think this was fire smoke. There was not much regular breeze, the marine breeze that we normally have that comes in off the ocean that cools things down was not there, which is why it's going to be 90 here for a few days.
So this might be the new summer reality.
So when we get the little oven that sticks right over the valley.
That was bad.
Going to get sticky.
It was bad last
night. I smelled the smoke this morning when I left the house. Yeah. I had a little bit of that walking out the door. Like, oh, okay. It's reached us now. Here we go.
That's when the west wind off the ocean stops and the east wind takes over and it brings the fires from all the east.
Yeah.
Yeah, we turn into a little oven.
Look, it's a horrible take. Yeah. I acknowledge it's a horrible take.
Yes, okay. I feel like you knew it kind of in the moment.
Oh, I know it. I acknowledge in the moment. Look, I'm going to say something. It's stupid. It's a bad take, but I'm going to say it anyways. And it just comes down to I like golfing in hot, sticky weather.
No, I get that.
That's the whole anything else that I have to do in this weather, I'm miserable. I don't want to walk. I don't want to be outside. I hardly left the house yesterday.
Yeah, it's hard.
Which is ironic. After my pro mugginess take on the show, I didn't basically leave the house all day. It's just a pro golf argument.
Well, I was out most of yesterday, and it was hot, but it didn't get muggy until really the evening.
Towards the evening is when it started to
cool off.
My buddy walked up from his house. He's just down in a different neighborhood to come see the lizard with his kids.
Check out the lizard.
Hey, check out Blue Iverson. And got to a house and was talking. I was like, man, it's hot out there, because I was working out in my garage during the Hall of Fame game. And I'm sweating my balls off. And I'm like, I can't believe you walked. I would have just drove, because it's only like a mile, but I still would have drove.
Turn the AC on in your car.
He goes, well, it wasn't too bad. And there was cloud cover. And I went, that's not cloud cover. And he smiled and he realized, he's like, yeah, I mean, I'm the fire smoke. Like, you know,
what are you going to do? You know,
anyway, I feel like it makes it worse. It's just awful. So
it was sticky and hot yesterday,
sticky.
But watching football on my TV reminded me that pumpkins and cool weather and autumn is right around the corner.
Oh, I can't wait. Another one in the old Dirt and Sprague bad take war chest that if we opened it up and we dove through the bad takes on little like post-its.
Uh-huh.
Man, if you got to like 2012, 2013, you find some Danforth Dirt and Sprague takes. Dirt ranting about pumpkin spice lattes. Oh, man, they're in there.
Look, I'm still out on pumpkin spice lattes.
They are buried, boy, are they glorious.
It's just the thought of, hey, it's here. The season's here, man.
Yep.
When you see it on the shelf, it makes you feel all nice, warm, and fuzzy inside.
We're still a little ways
away. Oh, it's on the shelves. It's on the shelves.
It is on the shelves.
Go check out the shelves next time you're in the store. You're going to see yourself some nice pumpkin sitting there.
My 12-year-old is picking up on capitalism, and she goes, Dad, there's a lot of Halloween stuff out right now. It's not even August. This was like a week ago or so. I go, yep. And give it about a month and a half. It'll be Christmas. Yeah,
we were getting ready to go to Sun River last week. Went to Costco to load up on a couple of groceries. And walking around Costco, what was sitting on top of one of their displays was like a 20-foot-tall skeleton.
There's lots of Halloween pillows.
And I'm like, yes, here we go. Dude. I know. You know, one of my most exciting things in life right now? This is very sad, but I'm acknowledging anyways. I'm growing some phenomenal pumpkins right now.
Oh, you're doing pumpkin growing.
I got pumpkin. I might have like 10 or 11 pumpkins this year, and I am jacked about my pumpkins.
Are these decorative pumpkins, or are you going to make
just little tiny
pumpkin pie, sugar pumpkins?
I'm not cooking them or making any pumpkin pie.
Like normal?
I mean, we'll see how big they end up getting. They haven't quite, but you're getting the little blossoms because they're late. They're late bloomers. You don't want them to bloom until, you know, we don't need them until October. So we got some time to go here. But they'll be, you know, normal little sized pumpkins. Put them around the house. Let Teddy play with one. I can't wait for my pumpkins.
Now, are you got the false advertising for Teddy ball game to go out Halloween so you can get a giant bag of candy? Or Michelle. I don't know, he's going trick-or-treat.
Do we know what Teddy's going to be yet?
We have not decided
what
he's going to
be. That's
going
to be kind of contentious, I feel like, because you might have some funny, great ideas, but your wife might go, no offense to anybody here, traditional white person, no, let's make him a ghost.
Make him a marshmallow or something.
He's a little cowboy.
I mean, my thing's going to be, can we just keep this as easy as
Simba.
Possible? He is,
hold
him up.
There you go. Yeah. Make this creative and fun. Do something fun.
Go lion and lion.
Don't poo-poo Halloween. And can we just do not something very, dude, you got to make
this
fun.
I mean, he's like 9 months old. He's not going to know what the hell is going on.
Make him the alien from Men in Black. Like,
that's not a bad idea.
Do something. You know, make him something fun.
That's not a bad idea.
You know, the little baby creative. That Will Smith helps birth? Yes. Make him that, and you're Will Smith.
I mean, he said for his first Halloween, he should just be a pumpkin. There you go. Just make him a pumpkin.
Yeah, see, that's kind of a
story. I'll take one of my pumpkins. Yeah. I'll carve it out, put him in the pumpkin, have him make the top, the hat of the pumpkin. You know, he's a pumpkin. He's in the pumpkin.
Save some real money. Just go buy him one of those dog costume pumpkin things with the Velcro.
Yes.
They fit him.
Now we're talking. See?
Let's go to Petco.
This is up my alley right now, dude. We're saving money. It's like $5.99.
Well, we got a lot to get to today. It's a loaded show, as Coug Ludes would like to say.
It is a loaded show today.
We will start. We got a lot of NFL. Heard some hot stuff yesterday. A lot of hot takes were flying in different sports. I want to address some of that. But let's start with the Hall of Fame game. We all watched. We all had it on our TV.
We did.
Sounds like we all cashed an overs ticket.
Damn right.
Shout out Ken Barkley, good friend of the show. I am also going to break some news on Ken Barkley coming up in the next segment. We'll start with the Hall of Fame game. It's a Sprague and Line Friday. Good to be in. Let's get it going on the fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
All right, pretty easy question here. Are we ready to give takes on the new kickoff rule, or are we willing to continue to wait and see what this is for like a half a season? Where are you guys at? Because the takes, about two kicks in, were flying. Like Kevin Clark on my timeline. This is dumb. Get out of this. Abandon ship.
I need to see more.
Okay.
I'm not ready to declare it one way or the other.
Okay. Really?
What are we doing here? Yeah. What happened to the game that I love?
It looked weird. It looked odd.
We can't run. No kickoff. Like, the whole point of this was to get the kickoff back in the game to, like, have it be a play. Because I think they had the stat last night that 22% of kickoffs were returned last year.
Yes.
Which is the lowest number they've ever seen in the history of the NFL. And so they're trying to find a way to activate the kickoff again. How do we make this entertaining?
Right.
And did it do it for you at all?
No, I don't. What's the longest return we had? Like 3 yards?
I mean,
not counting the lead up to the, when you get to the group of people, talking about like a 3 yard?
You pooch it to like the 15 yard line. The guy has to catch it.
Yep.
And he's going to have 7 yards to run and he's going to get tackled.
I think it was the third one, I want to say. It was a third kickoff where the Bears defender caught it and a Houston Texan guy just kind of broke through the line. And he lit him up pretty hard, and he was, like, on the ground. You could kind of tell he was woozy. And I'm like, isn't this what we were trying to eliminate?
Trying to make it safer. I also found it ironic on a night that we saw the greatest returner in the history of the NFL go in. We're not technically inducted yet, but be honored to be inducted into the Hall of Fame this weekend. It will happen. Devin Hester, who was celebrated and honored, and they're showing all these highlights of him, and the only guy to ever run an opening kickoff for the Super Bowl back. It's like, God, I remember Devin Hester was amazing to watch. He changed the game single-handedly just on special teams. It was remarkable what he did in his career, and that doesn't exist anymore. I thought it was a little ironic last night.
It's
Look, it's been hot taking.
I'm willing to wait.
I'll wait and see. Maybe things will change. Maybe kickers will get more strategy and we'll try and pin guys or land balls. And so,
Return teams will get more creative.
I saw it and I just thought the kickoff is dumb. It just, we've lost the kickoff in football and it's all about safety. And if that's the case.
No, it's not.
Like, why don't we just give them the ball on the 25-yard line and just start your drive? Like, if this is what we're going to do. Now, did I read correctly while I was on vacation, too, that you can't kick onside kicks anymore in the first three quarters?
It has to be, I think.
You have to, like, tell them we're kicking an onside kick. You can't do a surprise onside kick.
Is.
Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I should have pulled the audio. I just thought of this now. Joe Buck introducing the game and then explaining it, and he goes, if that was a lot for you, bear with us.
It was basically like, this is all we have to watch tonight. We have third stringers playing all night, so let's look how the kickoffs look.
Is that the perfect ending to a preseason game?
Yeah.
Mid-third quarter.
I walked out to do a little bit of watering because everything was dried up, and I'm like, I'll come back in. I walk in. I'm like, what the hell happened in the game? The game's not on anymore.
Mother Nature said, football fans got what they needed tonight.
Even God was like, I'm done. I'm done with this.
Can we turn it off now?
Thou shalt not be playing anymore of this crap.
This is fourth stringer. He's not making a team.
The thing about the kick, Devin Hester, I want to get to that real quick. I like the Hall of Fame game in the sense of like it does feel really good to see it on TV.
It's just uniforms. It's football. Yeah. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman.
I like seeing those guys honored. And all this class is a good class.
It is.
Dwight Freeney was a monster. Andre Johnson was probably one of the more underrated players in the league while he played because Houston sucked for so long.
Patrick Willis is one of my all-time favorites.
His knock at the door from Bryant Young is one of the greatest Hall of Fame knocks on the door. It might leave you crying, so be warned.
Julius Peppers was a freak.
Yes. I love Julius Peppers. It made me feel very old because I'm like, in a spot where I could say, I watched him play college basketball.
North Carolina.
UNC.
Right.
UNC. Yep. He was a dual sport athlete. And Hester, which I was really glad Hester got in because in a way, doesn't a Devin Hester getting in kind of feel like an old argument we used to have of the DH getting into the Hall of Fame? And I love that they put KR, kick returner, PR, punt return, and wide receiver. Yeah. And I went, nobody knew him. Yeah, come on, man. Get that off. Yeah. Stop. He was amazing. He played receiver. He got some catches. He's in there because of what he did on special teams.
The impact that he made as a return guy is why he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And there used to be guys that could make a career out of that. And not that there isn't
the
still...
human joystick. Well, yes. What was his name? The Kansas City Chief. You remember him, Swag?
Yes.
Little guy. He was fast. Wasn't he a former UPS driver or something? And then he made the team and he became like really good. He was
Dante Hall. Yes, go. Dante Hall.
Dante Hall. Thank God, you. I love Dante.
Somebody
Hall.
Else tried to steal. There's an Isaiah McKenzie who tried to steal the nickname because when I Google the human joystick, no, Isaiah Dante McKenzie Hall. Comes up.
That's Dante Hall.
What are we doing here?
That'd be a good poll question. Who is the human joystick?
I mean, come on. I don't even know. Isaiah McKenzie, nobody's ever referred to him as that. That's ridiculous. But there are still guys that can make a career on special teams in different ways. You know, punt coverage, kick coverage, all that kind of stuff. But the return specialist was something that was always dynamic about the sport. And it still exists in the punt game, so at least you still have that and that opportunity. But I just watched it last night, and maybe it's just me getting old and a fuddy-duddy. And it looks weird. It's strange. You can't run until the ball's caught. It just
There were a couple of penalties of guys jumping early.
You can have a placeholder for the kick if the weather's bad, but the guy has to run off the field.
Yeah, it's a 12th man.
We had a false start because the guy didn't stay on the line. It was it was a lot. There
it's
was a lot
take
going
a little
there.
Bit, and I think all the special teams coaches too. I think you'll see some very standard vanilla. I'm curious as the preseason goes on, like in the third game, well then. The harebrained idea that they had at the beginning, but they didn't want to.
Let's
try
this out. If
that comes out, what if we put everybody on, one side of the field or something like that?
I get wanting action, right? Like, that's why they moved the extra point back, and to their credit, it worked. If you get zero kickoff returns in the season, because I don't think there were very many, but there were a few last year.
But there had to have been a couple of touchdowns. Yeah,
like, if you don't get any kickoff returns, aren't you kind of trading one for the other? Like, is it really worth it if you get no return? Because we want the return, and we don't always get the return.
Well, they want to get rid of touchbacks. That's what they want to get rid of.
Yeah, move the kickoff back then. Move them, make them kick it from the 20 and, like, but challenge them to kick it to the 5 or 10.
But last year was the lowest percentage of kickoffs that were returned.
It was 22%. You had four return for touchdowns.
Well, you
last
get
year.
More than four in this.
I would vote no right now. A hot take after one game. I would.
I
vote
think.
No.
I think yes. I think. I
because you need some luck. I think for this to happen, you need bodies to collapse into each other.
So remind me the rule. So if you kick it into the end zone, you get it
at the 30.
If it lands inside the 15-yard line and goes into the end zone, you get it at the 20.
That I don't know.
I thought that's what Buck was explaining.
It was
last
something
night.
Like that.
Like if you land it on the 5-yard line and it rolls into the end zone, and the other team lets it land, you get it at the 20. That they want to lead guys to catch it and not just let the ball go into the end zone.
I believe you're
but
correct.
If you kick it straight into the end zone, then you get it at the 30-yard line.
Yes.
So people are going to try and land it or not catch it. Who the hell knows?
Well, you also like this isn't an original take from just me. Everybody has noted this, and it's a fairly obvious thing to say, but it needs to continue to be said. You cannot be in good conscience telling me you're doing this for safety and then be creating an 18th game.
No.
Yeah, I know.
That does not track whatsoever.
It's the hypocrisy of the NFL at its finest.
It really
they
is.
They don't give a rat's ass about player safety.
They say they do, and then they make 18 games, and you're like, this is a bit much.
It's heavy play an extra game without another bye, potentially. How does that sound
for you? I need to see more games. I need to see more if coaches have a different idea or different scheme or different plan.
Yeah.
And, one game.
I'm not ready to dive fully in, but I'm with Dirt on the... It was a dud of a start to it, and it just looks weird. It looks stupid.
Well, everybody's got to get used to it first.
Well, it was in... Didn't it was the XFL, the UFL?
One of those,
It was from that, and we saw the highlights. And initially, we're like, well, this is kind of unique and different. Here's another take. I can't really explain how or why, but seeing it in the XFL, I'm like, okay... watching it with our NFL teams, I'm like, this is too gimmicky and stupid. It's like making a movie of the NFL, but naming teams like Battlehawks. And I'm like, that's not an NFL team name.
No, can we just
stop it right there?
How about we use the Bears? How about that? That's a name that I know.
The Bears.
Yeah, having this kickoff with a Bears helmet on the field, it just didn't fit, man. It didn't fit.
I got a couple lingering things, not so much the game. The game was what the game was, but some lingering things left over from the two teams involved. Something said. We got some more NFL we'll get to coming up next. How do you feel about the kickoff? Did you like the new kickoff? Vancouver 4 text lines 503-864-6326. We'll get to all that next. All right, poll question's going to go up after one preseason game. Where are you at on the new kickoff? Hate it? Unsure? We shall see. Kind of like it. Gives me action.
Hopefully you didn't post that because I already posted one.
All right. I didn't.
Good.
All right.
I just gave you a don't like or like. I gave you two options. Yeah, don't straddle a fence. We don't straddle fences on this
show.
We
literally just straddled a fence.
No, I'm out.
We said, let's wait a little longer.
I'm not waiting. I'm out.
You're out.
I'm out on the new kickoff.
I'm going to laugh when
all
we get
I
like
do
seven.
Is straddle the fence.
You like to straddle, dude. Good for you.
This was her stabbing.
Can I ask you very quickly, when you think a special team returns, is Hester the name for you, or is there a lot of people, us or older, that still think Deion?
Deion's were more intercept. I know he, not kickoff returns.
Punt returns.
Punt returns and interception returns.
Specifically the Monday night game against the Giants. Yeah. It's just always burned into my brain as like the ultimate punt return Deion Sanders.
Yeah. I feel like my return guy Mount Rushmore, can I morph college into this too? Because college is a part of it as well.
It is?
For my take, it is.
In the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
I think my return guy Mount Rushmore is Devin Hester.
Maybe 2 minutes after saying don't straddle the fence, he's straddling the fence by giving you four names.
Okay, got four names. Okay. Devin Hester.
Okay.
Deion Sanders has to be on that list.
Has to be.
I would go because of the return that he had and the game that he had it in. I will always think of Desmond Howard as a return guy.
Yeah, well,
and that's college and NFL.
Yeah, he did it in
the Super Bowl. Yep. And then randomly, my fourth, mainly college. I don't know how good he was as a returner in the NFL. I'd have to go look at the numbers. Is Charles Woodson?
He didn't do a lot of returning in the NFL,
but he did in college, though.
He did.
And when he was running punts back at Michigan, Little Dirt was getting excited.
See, I go back a little further to Billy White Shoes Johnson.
Sure,
there you go.
There you go.
Right up your alley.
See, I feel proud. I like my Mount Rushmore.
Dirk gave us a good one in Woodson. Swag went to 1943.
He did.
Hey.
Oh, hey. Was that not the year?
73.
Hey, calm down. Who's your return guy, Mount Rushmore? Who you got? Who are your four?
Dante Hall does get the short end of a lot of sticks. I'm not going to do the college thing, although your Howard point is valid. Doing it in college and doing it in the pros should count.
Now, was the Heisman pose a punt return when he did it at Michigan? Was that a punt return touchdown?
I want to say it was a kick return.
But it was a return of some sort, right? And they did the Heisman pose, and it was like, oh, look at that. He's going to win the Heisman.
Let me go see.
Yeah, find the play, because that was, I mean, that's one of the most iconic celebrations in college football history.
It was a punt.
It was a punt return.
Against Ohio State.
It ran it biggest game of the year.
Yeah.
It ran it back, Heisman pose.
Not a fun guy to interview.
No. No, he's not.
I had two experiences with him, one on this show and one in college. Neither one of them went great.
No, they didn't.
Remember that time you hit the punt return, Desmond?
It was pretty cool. You did the pose? Remember
that? I do. I was there. I lived it. Okay. Thank you.
Sorry, stupid question.
I don't know if I'd do a Mount Rushmore, but I, you know.
Dante Hall is a good one. But he's a missing link on mine.
But Hester's getting in the hall for this. Like,
he is.
This really is the equivalent of the DH. Should a DH make the Hall of Fame? I think largely this show is collectively all said.
Yes.
Yeah, Edgar Martinez, Hall of Famer. No doubt about it. Hitting is the hardest thing maybe to do in pro sports. Hester was extremely talented, exceptional. It was just, I thought it was cool. He's not the best player of that group. He's not the biggest name of that group. But it's really cool to see guys like that be recognized because, damn it, man, is it hard to get even one of those ever in your career? And that dude did it routinely, especially leading off a Super Bowl.
And that, considering the new kickoff rules, will likely be a record and a distinction that lasts for a very long time.
Well, we'll see. The NFL is very good, and they've always been this, very good at flexing out of stuff they decide to do, too. Pass interference review, anybody?
That's true.
Dagone. If this sucks and we get, like, one return and that's it, I won't be stunned if they listen to enough of the noise and say, okay, we'll go back, we'll modify it, we'll do this little tweak, traditional kickoff. If you care about action, and you don't care about safety, just make them kick the ball off from further back.
Seems like a pretty easy solution.
Kick it off from the 15. They can't get it into the back of the end zone at that point.
The dumb part, and this is such a small part of the issue, because it happens maybe once, maybe twice a year at most.
Yeah.
The whole idea of not being able to have the random surprise onside kick in a game of like, let's start the third quarter and just booch one 10 yards. See if we can fall on it. Again, it happens, what, twice a year maybe? Like the Saints one is the most famous in the Super Bowl.
The surprise onside kick is a good play.
I'll go to the, you know, again, the college ranks. Remember when Oregon did it a couple years ago against UCLA? And everybody, look at that, big balls Dan Lanning. And it was like, oh, well, that was such a fun play. It was awesome. The whole crowd goes crazy. Like just losing that, for no reason, that is frustrating as well. Again, it happens once or twice a year. But when it does, you're screaming at your television of like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that. And I can't believe that they got it.
So Joe Buck trended again yesterday. I would like to make it very clear.
What's he trending about now?
I'm not going to do this again. It is August 2nd, so you hold me to my word here.
Hold you to your word.
Never again. I am done doing this like defense, debate, back and forth. Joe Buck is exceptional. The internet is loud and stupid. We learned that yesterday. I'm done with the Joe Buck. How good is he? Is he the best?
It's not a debate. I mean, it's just, who cares? What are we doing? Why is this even a topic?
He trends because every time he calls a game, like people are like, he sucks. Oh, this guy's terrible. And I'm like,
people freak out about everything.
I don't think they're freaking out. I think they're just saying it to say it. I don't even think they believe it. He did do one thing that I would like to call out. If you're a Bears fan and you hear Joe Buck comp you to the Boston Red Sox and the curse of the Bambino, does that piss you off? Because you have been to a Super Bowl in 06. You won it in 85.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
No, I'm just saying, like,
in this modern era of sports, as we settled on this show.
Of all the NFL teams, we're going Bears and Red Sox linkage?
No, the Lions are experiencing the curse of the Bambino. As far as getting to a champion, they've never been to a Super Bowl since the Super Bowl. Wasn't their last title like in the 40s?
Have the Browns?
The Browns have never been.
Okay. See, but I think the difference, though, that you got to draw, and maybe you feel this way about the Lions.
But the Bears
have
had opportunity.
Like, you know who else has never been to a World Series?
Yeah.
The Mariners.
Yes.
Nobody cares because the Mariners aren't an iconic franchise. Yeah.
Well, they also haven't been around for 100 years.
Right. And I know the Lions have been around for a long time. Would you consider the Lions an iconic NFL franchise? Because the Bears are, no matter their history, the Bears are that.
They're a blue blood.
The Bears are a blue blood.
You know, NFL blue blood.
They have not won a title since 1985, and they've only been to one Super Bowl in the last 30 years.
Yeah, but how many teams can't say they've been to a Super Bowl in the last 30 years?
I'm saying I think that's where the argument came from, Buck, of like the Red Sox not doing that and the curse of the Bambino and all. Like,
the Red Sox kept getting to the AFC Championship Series and could not close the deal.
So I see your point about the Lions.
Aren't the Brownies a blue blood?
They left and came back.
It's not the city's fault.
I know it's not the city's fault,
got
but
shaft on that end.
They went a couple of years without having a team, years? It wasn't long, but they got another team back.
You're right.
The original franchise left, kind of took the history.
Yeah.
So that's where I think the Bears are kind of in that argument of like, they are a blue blood. They've never had a franchise quarterback.
They've never had a quarterback throw for 4,000 yards.
They're one of the most iconic franchises in the history of the NFL, and they've never had a quarterback throw for 4,000 yards. Remember the interviews Rome Odunze was doing when he got drafted, and people were telling him the Bears' record holders for wide receiver numbers? He's like, that's it? He's going to break their career record, receiving records in like 2.5 years.
We're talking with Shane Reardon later of 670, the score for our ticker stop. We got a lot to get into with him. He's a big cooking guy. I want to ask him a bear question, the TV show.
Mm.
He's also a White Sox fan, so like...
Oh, wow.
Hey, if your team left, would you be all upset about it? I want to talk about that. But I'm fascinated and I'm intrigued, and I bought a Bears hat yesterday from my cousin's thrift store, and I'm all in on the Caleb
experience.
Yeah,
that looks like it's right out of the Super Bowl shuffle, by the way.
Old school hat. I got a Chargers hat, a Bills hat, and a Bears hat. I'm a Niner fan who also loves the NFL, and I'm tired of being held to one logo. Let me rock whoever I want to rock. It's a San Diego Chargers hat, for God's sake.
You went San Diego on their ass.
Well, it's a thrift store, so it's like there was random hats. There was a Hornets hat. There was a Purdue hat that I almost bought. It just said Purdue on it. I'm like, I don't know where this is.
I want to see if you got a Vancouver Grizzlies hat at some point.
I've solid logo. Buying it. Yeah.
I like solid that logo. Classic logo.
But I, you know, I like logos. I don't hold me to just the Niners. Let me rock a Bills hat.
There you go.
I've noticed that, too, speaking of the thrift store finds, is that a lot of the NFL, like, that's a new trend now. Like, a lot of the hats are the throwback kind of vibe and
you
look.
You find a Hartford Whalers hat?
Oh, hell yeah.
Tell me, and I'm Venmoing you whatever.
I saw a 1995 Duck Rose Bowl thing yesterday at his thrift store.
Dude,
I almost bought it.
What are we doing?
I don't want you to take offense to this.
Was it a Schmedium?
No, you just kind of have a very arrogant, I'm not a thrift store guy vibe.
With sports stuff, I will wear thrift store.
You would wear it.
Non-sports stuff, find, not touching it.
No, if you make a find, a cool sports find
dude,
somewhere,
if you find me like a 1991 Western Conference Finals Blazers t-shirt that fits, I'm wearing the ass out of that
so
thing.
So you, Swigard, I got a shirt in my backpack for you. You are free clothes guy all day. I don't question you.
You want mine from yesterday, too?
You wear a Bannon shirt every day, and so it's like, that ain't on the thrift store rack.
I have my Tommy Bahama collection, too, that goes to dry cleaning only when it's time to go to Hawaii. So yeah.
Is it ready yet?
What?
Is it ready yet for August?
No, I got to make that trip next week.
We got to make that trip. It's coming up.
Can you put that in an open somehow? Because, like,
I'm also a Tommy Bahama guy.
Love my Tommy Bahama.
Tommy Bahama's great. I'm not anti-Tommy Bahama at all.
Guys,
big fan of the Bahama.
You just sound like tan white people. That's how I think about when
you're going
to
on
the,
it.
You're going to go to the luau later? Huh? Doing a pig roast in my Bahama.
Aloha. Aloha.
Gracias.
Brah.
You want to lay me? You want to lay me?
Yeah, long until Swag drops that one at one of the bars or something off the plane. I was looking to get laid.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, yesterday I actually found a tank top at that because shop's right up the road from here. And he had a 1990 Portland Trailblazer NBA final tank top.
Dude, that's what I'm talking about. Sports stuff, I'm all about it.
I almost bought it. I'm not a good tank top wearer, but I almost rocked it.
Sun's out, guns out.
It was like an extra small.
Ah,
it was not going to fit anybody.
The hard part about thrift store finds is finding one that fits.
The size, the way it fits, how worn it is, all that can impact.
Was the 95 Duck, was it a hat or a t-shirt?
It was a t-shirt.
What size was it? How big are we talking here?
I want to say it said medium, but I'll tell you.
It's not happening.
No, I it didn't look like a medium.
Oh, okay.
It looked more like a large.
We're running like a large?
Yeah.
Labeled a medium.
Old cotton type t-shirt.
Ah.
So a little thicker.
Yeah.
With like a gray hue.
That thing ain't shrinking anymore.
But it was the old Oregon font.
Oh, hell
had roses all over it. 95 Rose Bowl.
So now we're talking gangrene.
It's like, well, this wouldn't fit Josh Wilcox, but this might fit Dirt.
It could.
But Dirt ain't going to wear.
It'll incentivize me to lose 4 pounds.
I want to get to a big story in sports that came out yesterday. It just continues to fly under the radar, and it's going to get even more ridiculous. I'll tell you what that is next on The Fan. All right, we'll put a pause in some NFL. I think there's some NFL chatter we need to get to. An injury down in California.
Ruh-roh.
An injury in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh.
And an injury in Cleveland, Ohio. So some injuries going on in the NFL. Always the thing you're holding your breath about with camp is like, just get healthy, be healthy, be healthy. So we'll talk some NFL stuff, get some news and notes coming up at some point. Shane Reardon of 670 The Score will join us. We'll talk a little bit about the Bears, Caleb Williams hype. May ask him, a White Sox, like, does anybody care over there? Or
I was going to ask, are they the most depressing franchise in pro sports right now?
Oh, let me noodle.
Like, is there a fan base that you think is more depressed right now than White Sox fan?
Phoenix Coyote?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Leaving town.
They don't have
they're gone.
Anymore.
They're in Salt Lake City now.
Wizards?
Wizards, not bad.
Yeah.
Pistons are probably, you know, Pistons.
They were once a proud franchise.
They were once a proud franchise.
It's a good question, actually. Interesting thing to think about. So we'll talk with him at 7:30. We got some college football to get to at the top of the hour because it's college football season.
Damn right it is.
Couple weeks.
I'm unveiling the teams for next week. Daily Poll or Daily Poll. Dirty Poll starts next week.
Does it?
It has. I mean, we're almost there. We got to start previewing teams.
Like we do a guest next week or you unveil?
No, I'm going to unveil 25 through 20 in the second half of the show today. And I'll let you know which teams we're going to preview Monday through Friday of next week.
Okay.
And I'm going to do it 5 at a time. I'm not going to give you the whole poll right away. You just going to give them the tip 25 through 20. That's you're going to get right out of the gate, and you'll get a glimpse of it in the second half of the show.
There are sources at Sprague Media who are questioning the legitimacy of the dirty poll in 2024, they're saying that Oregon might be like ranked ninth. Somehow, some way, I'm only ranked
somebody
going
to give us a chance this year. I don't know.
Exactly.
We'll have to wait,
we'll have to wait and see
on that front. Not even a top 10 team preseason? Nobody's giving us a shot.
Those same sources are also indicating that people inside the dirty poll are conflicted because they also want to be right.
Yeah, we want to be cocky.
But they want to play the nobody gives us a chance card. So
legend
we'll see.
That could. You know, we're an underdog this year, but also cocky and confident. It's a weird combo.
It's mighty different.
It is mighty
different. We are mighty different around
it's
here.
Mighty different.
The dirty poll is mighty different.
You came in late. You missed a guy on ESPN radio ranting if Mike Trout is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, Jesus.
You had said like a week ago.
What are we doing?
Or you said before your vacation that he was out, and I kind of just took that as where it sounds like that wasn't the case yet. And then he tore his meniscus, and so they announced it yesterday. He is shut down. He is out for the whole season now. Another year, basically, no Mike Trout.
It's depressing, man. I was genuinely depressed with this.
So I'm torn here. I want to be as honest as I can. I will always acknowledge how incredibly skilled and talented he is. I also, he's going to retire, and I'm going to tell you, I didn't watch more than 70+% of his games.
Oh,
his
higher than that. I haven't been in the playoffs since 2014.
When I don't watch Angels baseball almost ever. And so it's like, it's going to be a really weird athlete to talk about. We all know how good he is. Oh, he's great. But like, stayed with a very poor ass franchise. And I never watched him play, and the back end of his career has been filled with injuries. So it's just like a really weird athlete to talk about.
It is. It's genuinely depressing the way that it's gone. And some of this is on him, right? He was the one that decided to re-sign with Anaheim, who is, again, talk about incompetent organizations. The Angels are that. And I remember when Harper went to Philly, he grew up, Trout did, a diehard Phillies fan. He's from New Jersey. He's from that area. He's a big Eagles fan.
Yep.
Everybody thought, oh, he's going to leave in free agency and go sign with Philly, which would have been incredible. Imagine him in that lineup, right? I know you hate the Phillies, but just from an entertainment standpoint.
Oh, no, for sure.
And from a spotlight standpoint on my Trout.
Schwarber and Harper.
Right? I mean, and he's playing in the playoffs every year because they're a loaded team. He's getting to a World Series. Like, what does that do for his career? So a lot of this is on him for re-signing in Anaheim. The whole idea that he's not a Hall of Famer is one of the dumbest things.
First ballot. Because he's good. First off,
he's 32 years old. He's not dead. He's not retiring. Yeah. He will come back. He will play more games. He's going to finish with 500-plus home runs, likely.
He's
only 32. He's the same age. By the way, everybody's going on this rant right now about how Aaron Judge is the greatest hitter of the modern generation. You know, Aaron Judge and Mike Trout are the same age, and Mike Trout's numbers blow him out of the water because he was doing it far before Judge popped. It took him a while to finally get there. He's going to finish with likely around 500 home runs, if not north of that. He's going to have over 1,000 RBIs. His career batting average is basically 300. His stolen base numbers, he's got 200-plus stolen bases in his career. Like, that's just stupid, and it's coming from somebody who doesn't follow or watch baseball. That does not take away from the fact that this is really depressing. He has not played more than 130 games since 2019.
Jeez.
And this will be another year. We played 29 games this year, man. 29 games. He had 10 home runs and 12 RBIs. He was hitting dingers. Nobody was
Remember
on base.
Remember, they started the year, and it was like, he's got four RBIs, and the Angels have scored 5 runs. It's like, oh, my God.
I hope. My only hope for him is that there can be some sort of...
He needs to get out of there. Let's
bring it together health-wise, find a spot where you can go DH or just, you know, kind of find a second life in your career.
There's bad vibes in L.A. He's got to get out of that.
And I hope that he does, and I hope that he gets a chance to compete because he is still one of the greatest players of all time. Just because we don't watch Angels games, it's like if a tree falls in the woods and you didn't hear it, did it fall? Yes, it did. Just because we're not watching Angels games doesn't mean that Mike Trout wasn't maybe the best player we've seen in the last 15 years.
No, I will fully admit that you're right there. It is, but like what I'm saying is it not odd to say you didn't watch one of
it's
the greatest
weird, man.
Players ever?
It sums up baseball because it's a regional sport. And we're only watching all the teams in the playoffs, and during the regular season, you're watching your teams. That's it. You can do this for how many Aaron Judge games have you watched this year?
Well, I've seen far more Aaron Judge just because they're always on Sunday Night Baseball. Oh,
and they've been in the playoffs the last couple
and
of years.
They're in the
but
playoffs,
I'm talking
yeah.
like regular season games. How many of you sat and watched?
I don't watch every Yankee.
Right?
No, I'm not going to pretend.
You can do this for how many great players? How many Ohtani games have you watched this year?
But I'm at least, I think the thing about it, because you mentioned the games he's played since 2019, and we got to go to the second hour, but I think what they may be the same age, but like Judge is just sitting in a daily bomb. bomb.
It's where
bomb.
Trout was at in 2017.
I know, but you know it's different when it's in a Yankee uniform versus being in the Angels, where it's like,
yeah.
Before Ohtani, it was like, hey, it's Mike Trout and nothing. Yeah. And then it's Ohtani, and then it's like, hey, it's Ohtani and Trout, and then
two of the best
Trout
players
getting hurt, and then it's just Ohtani, and
still can't make the playoffs.
You know, like, thank God we finally are going to get Shohei Ohtani in the playoffs.
We will.
He's finally going to be in the show, and I'm excited about that. I'm incredibly bummed, and I'll say finally, a weird athlete to talk about. He's going to make his decisions for his own life, and that's his choice. He needs to get out of there.
Yes, he does.
Sometimes you have to have a restart. And I'm not saying the Angels are making him hurt. But like, if all of the stuff and momentum is going negative, shake things up in your life a little bit. It'd be nice to see him in the playoffs more routinely, playing with a contender. I'd want it to be the Braves, selfishly.
We'd all want it to be our team. I'd take him in a heartbeat, man.
Right. But he just needs to not be the LA Angels.
He broke through in 2011. He's been there a long time, man.
I can't believe he's only 32.
He's 32 years. He's been in a big leaguer for, what, 13 years? He's 32 years old.
Crazy.
He broke in at a crazy young age.
Loaded second hour of the radio program. We'll go to Chicago for the ticker. We kick it off with college football. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.